And I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you can still recall, 2 weeks ago, Bob Pryor preached a sermon on the topic of praying, specifically praying for the unsaved, reminding us of the importance and the need to be praying to God and cultivating a prayerful spirit. And also last week, Bob preached a sermon on Hebrews chapter 12, encouraging all of us to continue persevering for God, enduring all sorts of hostility and temptation from the world, running the endurance that is set before us, keeping our eyes fixated on Jesus. And so over the past 2 weeks, we were given two very important lessons that are key to becoming a faithful Christian. One, cultivating a prayerful spirit. Two, persevering for God. And while these two things are essential and critical for every believer, there is still one thing that is necessary that we simply cannot neglect. And I'm referring to the Word of God. I'm referring to making the Word of God a priority in your life. And so this morning I want to spend some time breaking down Luke chapter 10 verses 38 to 42 with you so that you may know why God's Word should be given more priority over our works. So please keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 10 so you can follow along carefully. But before we dig deep into these short but rich verses, it's always beneficial to ask ourselves, how does this all fit into the bigger picture? You'll come to realize that the previous 37 verses are all linked to this passage. Because the whole of chapter 10, Luke presents us three scenarios, all of which show us that we have a tendency to overemphasize on the things that we do. We tend to overemphasize on our works than on God. And that's a problem. Now, I don't want to spend so much time going through each case in detail, but simply provide a brief summary so that you have a better understanding of how this all fits. So let me draw your attention back near the start of Luke chapter 10 to the story of the 72. Have a look at verse 17. The 72 return excited about the fact that even the demons submit to them in the name of Jesus. There's a sense in which they come back saying, Jesus, look at what we've been doing. Look at how successful our doing has been. But of course, Jesus corrects their faulty thinking by saying in verse 20, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Don't rejoice in what you've apparently been doing, but rather rejoice in what God has done for you by writing your names in heaven. And then we move on to the story of the Good Samaritan in verse 25. The question again has to do with doing. Because the lawyer asked Jesus, what is he supposed to be doing in order to inherit eternal life? But Jesus corrects him by saying the real issue here is not what you're supposed to be doing or who your neighbor is, but rather the real issue here is that are you a neighbor to the person who is in need? And now when we come back to verses 38 to 42, the concern, as you would expect, is again to do with doing, especially when Martha approaches Jesus and orders him to tell Mary to start doing. But Jesus replies her saying, Martha, I'm not particularly concerned at the moment about doing. I'm more concerned about whether you're listening to me. And so the takeaway here is that God is more concerned with who we are in terms of our relationship with him, rather than on the things we do for him. That means seeking God first and listening to his word is a priority over our work. And I'll elaborate more on this as I go. And so what I want to do today is to look into each of the characters that is presented to us in Luke chapter 10, starting with Martha. But before I begin, let me set the scene for you. In verse 38, the story begins with Jesus and his disciples journeying towards Jerusalem with a purpose to fulfill what was prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus had a mission. He had a mission to bring salvation to all who believe in him by sacrificing himself on the cross, being crucified for our sins and then risen on the third day. But before he reached his final destination, Along his journey, he stops by a village. In John chapter 11, we're told that the name of this village is Bethany, which is home to Martha, her sister Mary, and her brother Lazarus, who is not mentioned here. But you know from the story, from the Gospel of John, that Lazarus is the same man that Jesus raised from the dead. So now let's turn our attention to Martha. She may have been the elder of the three siblings, and she may be identified as the maternal figure in the house. So if anything were to happen in the house, it would be safe to assume that she would be the one making all the decisions. She'd be calling all the shots. And so here she is, swinging her doors wide open in welcome to welcome her esteemed guest into her home. And we know, of course, the guest is none other than Jesus himself. And because of this, she may be the one to be mostly identified with hospitality. Now, isn't that a good thing? To be hospitable? If you look on the... forgot to turn this on. Yeah, if you look on the screen from both Old and New Testament references, hospitality is a Christian virtue that is both commanded and commended. In the epistles, we're told that those who are involved in the leadership of the church should be the kind of individuals who themselves are demonstrating hospitality. The point is, it's a good thing to be hospitable. Martha has done a good thing by welcoming Jesus into her home. But as we go through the passage, what we'll discover is that our good thing becomes the bad thing. And for many of us, that becomes the predicament. We will realize that the things that we're particularly good at result in grounds for discomfort and disgruntlement as a result of our priorities. For Martha, it's clear that she's given into hospitality. That's because she was the one to welcome Jesus into her home. She was also the one to take upon the responsibility to prepare something special for Jesus when he arrives. Presumably, it would be a meal. While leaving her sister Mary in the background to entertain the guest. Mary, you just go sit over there. I know what Jesus wants. I know what Jesus needs. I'll make sure the tablecloth is out, the plates are laid out correctly, and the cooking's done on time. You just go sit over there and do what you gotta do. I got it. So it's clear that Martha wanted to do something special for Jesus. And it was a commitment to doing something special that she poured all her time, all her energy into preparing that one meal. If you had a special visitor come visit your home, you would do the very same things that Martha was doing. But however, what we see later in verse 40 is that what initially appears to be godly servanthood and good intentions later become resentment and distraction. It was on her account that she wanted to do something really special for Jesus. She ended up doing something really bad because of where she put all her focus. She was focused on the wrong things. And we'll explore this a bit more now. Have a look at verse 40. The first thing we know about Martha is that she was distracted. Distracted. The word distracted means to be pulled away, to be overwhelmed with something, or to be overburdened. She was distracted with much serving because all her attention was directed into the preparation of the meal rather than on Jesus. She was so fixated on all the things that she was doing rather than on the words that was coming out of Jesus' mouth. There was so much stuff that was going on in her head. And that's the problem. Stuff. That's the problem. Stuff. We have so much stuff. Think of an instance where you've been so overwhelmed and distracted with stuff. Your studies, your work, family commitments, even in ministry. These things can be distractions in our lives if we choose to focus on them at the expense of spending time in God's Word. Martha was so distracted with her service to Jesus that she couldn't spend time listening to him. And so what's the result? What's the result of all this? Martha's attitude changed. Not for the better, for the worse. She complained to Jesus in verse 40. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Do you not care that I'm doing all the work here and she's doing nothing to help me? Go then and tell her to help me. Her good intentions have turned for the worse. Because the moment she stopped listening to the word of God, she disrupted the harmony that existed between her and her sister and between her and Jesus. She became disgruntled. She became annoyed. She was irritated. And this was reflected in the way she spoke to Jesus and the way she treated her sister Mary. She even wanted to take away the precious moment that was enjoyed between her sister Mary and Jesus by telling her sister to come help her with all these preparation. The problem here is not that Jesus had laid a heavy burden on Martha. The problem is not in the task and that the task was too much for her. The problem is that Martha had made the task more than it comfortably needed to be. Jesus didn't expect her to prepare a world-class meal for him. I'm sure he would have been content with a simple dish. Because what Jesus desired at that point was not the food that was on the table, but rather what he desired was her company. It was her company. Jesus wasn't primarily concerned with what she was doing. He was concerned if she was listening to him. Jesus wanted a listening heart, a heart that desires his companionship and yearns to listen to the word of God. Do you have that sort of heart for Jesus? Do you have a heart that actively seeks to listen to the word of God? Do you get excited when you open the Bible to read his word? So we have Martha, distracted and disgruntled. So now, let's look at how Jesus responds to all this. If you had children with an attitude like Martha, perhaps you wouldn't let them off so easily. Because with an attitude like that, we would have expected Jesus to give Martha a stern warning. But he didn't. He didn't. But rather, it was a very gentle reminder, gentle rebuke towards her. Almost with a grandfatherly tone to it. He didn't speak to her in the same way he did harshly to the lawyers and the Pharisees in Luke chapter 11. He spoke from the perspective of a loving and caring father. Because we're told in John chapter 11 verse 5 that Jesus loved them both. He loved both Martha and Mary equally. They were both exceptional, godly, faithful individuals. And this is reflected by his tender response. He says, beginning in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." It's the same as saying, "Martha, Martha, I see what you're trying to do. I know what you're trying to do for me and I love you for it. But I still need to tell you one thing, that your sister Mary has done the right thing." Jesus doesn't correct her for her actions because her actions are commendable. He corrects her for getting her priorities wrong. She was so busy preparing and doing things for Jesus that she neglected the time and opportunity to listen to him. But as a word of warning, we shouldn't study this passage thinking that we no longer need to care about what we do and all we have to do is focus on God and that'll be the end of it. We all just become monks and sit on the mountainside. That's not the point. Because that's a seriously wrong perspective to have. If there's no one serving in cafe time, there won't be coffee and food for everyone to enjoy. If there's no one on sound, you wouldn't be able to hear what I'm saying to you right now. If there's no one in Bible Kids or creche, there will be no one to look after your children while you sit in for the sermon to listen to God's word. We need faithful servants to welcome people to church. We need to set up church, to evangelize, to teach, to preach. Because we're told in James chapter 1 verse 22, we should be doers of the word and not just hearers only. The problem with Martha that she wasn't doing the other part. She wasn't listening. And so Jesus' gentle words of correction to Martha set the priorities once more in their proper order, which is to listen first and then to do second. A contemporary preacher by the name of Alistair Begg simply puts it, the priority of listening to the word of God is the foundation of a life of active service to Christ. The priority of listening to the word of God is a foundation of a life of active service to Christ. And the only person in the room to really understand this was the one sitting quietly at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And of course, that is none other than Martha's sister, Mary. So let us draw our attention to Mary. We have Martha, who is the outspoken, straightforward, service-driven individual, and then we have Mary, who does nothing to help her and does not even speak a single word at all. Have a look at verse 39. We know two things about Mary. One, she is sitting at the Lord's feet. And two, she listened to his teaching. In the first century, it was unheard of for a woman to sit at the feet of a Jewish teacher and receive his teaching. In fact, it was generally opposed, if not frowned upon. So if you're a woman in the first century and you wanted to know God's word, well, too bad, you've got to sit at the back of the class. But here, Jesus, he completely disregards this notion. He happily allows Mary to sit at his feet. And by sitting at his feet, Mary expressed her desire to learn from God and her desire to be close to him. Her position was of submission to Christ. She was eager and ready to receive his teaching like a pupil to a master. And the next thing we know about Mary is that she listened. She listened to his teaching. If you're a teacher trying to teach the class, you know that all the students in the room will hear what you're saying, but not everyone will be listening. If you're involved in Bible Kids, you'll know what I mean. And if you're a student and you come across an exam question that you have no idea what the answer is to, two things will pop up into your mind. One, I messed up. And two, I should have paid attention. I should have listened in class. Every parent lecturing their children would have experienced a moment where the child appears to be unresponsive to what you're saying. And so you say to them, are you actually listening to me, or is one thing going one ear and coming out the other? Jesus wants us to listen. He doesn't want us to just hear. He wants our undivided attention when it comes to spending time in his word. We don't just read the Bible for the sake of reading it. We need to think about it. We need to reflect on it. Now on the screen, perhaps some of you may or may not know this guy. Maybe for the young people, you have no idea who he is. But this man, he goes by the name of Howard Berg. I think he's a bit of a sensation because in 1990, he was recognized in the Guinness World Records for his ability to read more than 25,000 words per minute. That's insane. And guess what? He claims that he could comprehend what he was reading with that kind of speed. Try the Bible. I don't know if he could do that with a Bible. It's taking us 20 minutes on 5 verses and we're still going. It's a bit small on the screen, but the ad says how to read a page in 3 seconds. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? If I can digest everything in 3 seconds. But the point I want to draw across is that we shouldn't be spending time in God's word for the sake of it. We shouldn't rush his word through and treat it as if it's another chore. We need to listen, to think, and to reflect on his word and not be like Howard, who skips pages. And that's what Mary did. She listened to his teaching. Her attention was on what Jesus taught. She's the kind of student who would sit at the front of the class and pays close attention to what the teacher was saying. She's the kind of model student we should all be. And Jesus commends her for it. Why? Because Mary knew what was more important than helping her sister. She knew exactly what Jesus wanted of her. Martha thought she knew what Jesus wanted, but she was wrong. She got it wrong. Have a look at verse 42. Jesus commends Mary for choosing the good portion. And we're told that the good portion is associated with the one thing necessary. So if out of all the good things that a Christian ought to do, Mary had chosen the very piece of the pie that is one, the most important, and two, the most needed. And so what is the one thing that is the most needed? It is, of course, to listen to the Word of God. It is to make the Word of God a priority in your life. And guess what? Nothing can take that away from you. Nothing can take away God's teaching from you. The meal that Martha prepared for Jesus would have been gone the next morning, leaving only scraps on the table. The material things we work so hard for do not last until the very day we depart this world. Your house will not remain. Your jobs will not remain. Your university degree and qualifications won't remain. But what will remain is the Word of God. Because His Word is pure. His Word is unchanging. And His Word is everlasting. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Jesus says to His disciples, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away." In John chapter 6, verse 27, He also says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus replies the tempter by saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And the good thing for us is that the Word of God is made available to all who desire it. We don't need to specially wait for Jesus to physically appear before us so we can sit at His feet and listen to what He has to say. We don't need to do that anymore. Because we can access His Word through the Bible. Through the very book that is in your very hands. Through the book that's handed out freely when you come to church. If you remember Dom's preaching a while back on 2 Timothy, we're told that all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. That means everything you read in the Bible, the contents of the Bible, comes directly from God. God speaks to us through His Word, through the Bible. In Psalm 40, verse 7 to 8, David tells us that the Word of God is also written in our hearts. And so it may involve moments of silence before God, in prayer, listening for His voice, and reflecting on His teaching. But the problem is that many of us have such busy schedules in our daily lives that we can't even spare a single moment of our time to come before God in submission with an eagerness, a readiness, and a patience to listen to His teaching. We often find ourselves living more like Martha and less like